example, we understand that these books are not simply to be understood with our head, but they have to be practiced with our heart. So therefore, the living examples of the are very important. And we see, like for example, Srila Prabhupada has written many books. And we also have books written about Srila Prabhupada, how he actually followed those principles in different time, place and circumstances, how he applied them. In that sense, like, we can take advantage of both of them. And like in the 10th canto, the prayers of the personified Vedas, in one of the prayers, the personified Vedas say that there is something called as Andha Parampara, the parampara of blind people. So there is a parampara of wise people, and there is also parampara of blind people, not physically blind, spiritually blind people. So both paramparas are prevalent in this world. So we have to, in order to practice spiritual life, we have to follow one of the bona fide parampara. In that sixth canto, when the Yamaraj is describing the 12 Mahajans, in that purport, Srila Prabhupada especially emphasizes that one has to follow some spiritual master who has come in one of the four bona fide sampradayas. The essential point of following this Mahajans is that we have to follow a person who has come in a bona fide disciplic succession. So it is said that sampradaya vihina yena mantraste nishfala mata. So when we do not receive the mantra, when we do not receive the mantra from the parampara, then it may not have much effect. So therefore, following a parampara is important. In fact, I remember in one class, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj explained, like, even when we execute the process of devotional service, so when we execute the devotional service according to the guidelines of the bona fide spiritual master, according to the guidelines of Srila Prabhupada, then it has greater potency. Just like sometimes one may wonder, like, why one should chant, like Srila Prabhupada recommended, like, one should chant a minimum of 16 rounds. He recommended that. So one may wonder, like, why one should chant 16 rounds, or for that matter, whatever number of rounds. Somebody else may recommend, okay, some number of rounds, etc. So, like, holy name is definitely powerful, but when we chant the holy name under the guidance of the, by following the program given by the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, then not only we attract the mercy of the Lord, but we attract the mercy of the Srila Prabhupada. And when we attract the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, then we can make more advancement than by our own sadhana. So that is why, like, we have this, like, Srila Prabhupada gave a morning program. Of course, in temple we follow a morning program starting with Mangalarti. But in an individual home, according to their capacity and according to their work schedule, they may have a different morning program, because different people may be working. But the point is that Prabhupada gave a morning program in which we perform our sadhana before we actually start the day's work. So when we execute the sadhana according to the program given by Srila Prabhupada, so in addition to our effort of performing the sadhana, we get the, because we are following the program given by Srila Prabhupada, we attract his mercy. So therefore, when we get the mercy of a devotee, we can make more advancement than by our own sadhana. So therefore, it is important to execute devotional service under the guidance of, by following the program given by the previous acharyas. And coming to Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva's description comes in many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We may discuss some of the places, and there are also in other scriptures the identity of Lord Shiva has been described. Like for example, in the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma describes the, he actually explains the principle of Shambhu, Shambhu Tattva. He describes the identity of Shambhu. So in the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma says that when Mahavishnu casts his glance upon the shadow of his illusion, shadow of his internal energy, the internal energy of Mahavishnu is called as Rama Devi. And when Mahavishnu casts his glance upon the shadow, of his internal energy, that is Rama Devi, then the creation starts. So the glance of Mahavishnu is called as the Shambhu. He is called as the Shambhu or Sadashiva. And the shadow of the internal energy, Rama Devi, is called as the Uma or Parvati Devi, or the external energy. So the union of the glance of Mahavishnu with the external energy of the Lord, which is the shadow of his internal energy, that actually starts the creation of this world. That activates the creation. So in that sense, the identity of Sadashiva, Shambhu, or Shambhu Tattva, is basically, he is the glance of Mahavishnu, according to Brahma Samhita. And in the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma also says that same Shambhu, in relation to the living entities, he manifests the egoistic principle. In the sense that when the living entity understands himself, when the living entity is in his original constitutional position as an eternal servant of Krishna, then he is situated in the spiritual world. But when the living entity desires to lord it over the material energy, in order to lord it over the material energy, he has to misidentify himself as a product of matter. He has to actually misidentify himself as the body. So that misidentification is caused, that egoistic principle of misidentification is caused by the Shambhu. So in relation to the living entities, Shambhu or Sadashiva, he causes the misidentification of the living entity with the matter, with the mind or intelligence or the material body, so that he can actually lord it over matter. And Lord Shiva, again in the Brahma Samhita, it is described that Kshiram yata dadi vikara visesha yoga sanjayate nahitata pritagasti heto yaha shambhutam apitata samupaiti karyad Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So it is said, the simple example is given by Lord Brahma, that just like a milk, when it becomes adulterated, when it comes in contact with some impurities, then it gets transformed into curd. So similarly, the Supreme Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, is just like curd is another manifestation of milk with a little impurity. When the milk is adulterated, it becomes curd. Similarly, Lord Shiva is basically the another manifestation of Lord Vishnu. When he comes in contact with a material energy, what is that adulterating principle? Lord Vishnu plus the adulterating principle is actually Lord Shiva. So what is that adulterating principle that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions? He says that that adulterating principle is a combination of a portion of material energy plus the spiritual energy. Lord Vishnu plus the combination of a stupefying portion of a material energy. Material energy actually makes a person nonsense, stupefying effect means it makes a person stupid in the sense that it makes a person identify with different things. So the Lord Vishnu plus the a portion of the material energy and a portion of spiritual energy is actually Lord Shiva. So that is the adulterating principle. And Saraswati Thakur explains in his purport how this Sadashiva actually serves the Supreme Lord. He serves the Supreme Lord in three different ways. He assists the Supreme Lord in creation, maintenance, and also in destruction. So he assists the Supreme Lord in creation because Sadashiva is the glance of the Supreme Lord, glance of Mahavishnu. When the glance falls upon the external energy, then the creation starts. So in that way, Sadashiva actually assists the Supreme Lord in creation. And the same Sadashiva, another manifestation as Shiva or the Rudra, he, by killing the demons, he assists the Supreme Lord in the maintenance of this world. And the same Rudra, the same Sadashiva actually, he manifests, Lord Shiva as a Rudra, he assists the Supreme Lord by destroying this world at the time of annihilation. In this way, Sadashiva, he assists the Supreme Lord at the time of creation, maintenance, and also in annihilation. So again, in the Brahma Samhita, it is explained that Goloka Namni Nijadamni Talecha Tasya Devi Mahesha Haridamasu Teshu Teshu Tete Prabhava Nichaya Vihitascha Yena Govindam Adi Purusham Tamakam Bajami. So in this particular verse, Lord Brahma describes the three abodes: Devi Dham, Mahesh Dham, and Hari Dham. So the Devi Dham is basically the material world. The material world is under the jurisdiction of the material energy of the Supreme Lord, the Durga. The material world is called as Devi Dham. The spiritual world is called as Hari Dham. In the spiritual world, there are so many planets, but the entire this thing is called as Hari Dham. And in between the material world and the spiritual world is what is the Mahesh Dham, which is the abode of Sadashiva. So that is another description given by Lord Brahma about the Sadashiva. So therefore, so when we talk about Lord Shiva, so there are different manifestations of Shiva. So one is the Sadashiva who is situated in the Mahesh Dham, which is like in the Mahesh Dham, Sadashiva is worshipped by the Shaivayait Vaishnavas, who actually essentially worship Vishnu, but through Lord Shiva. So just like we have like Ramanuja Vaishnavas, Madhva Vaishnavas, the Vaishnavas who are followers of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada Anugas, we can say. So similarly, in the Mahesh Dham, there are Shaivayait Vaishnavas who through the Sadashiva, they worship Lord Vishnu. And the same Sadashiva, he manifests in the material world as Shiva, or he manifests as Rudra or Shiva, both are actually different names. And this Shiva or Rudra in the material world, he is not eternal, he is temporary. But the Sadashiva in the Mahesh Dham, he is actually eternal. So that is a difference. In fact, so the Shiva who is there in the material world, he actually, he does the service of actually annihilation. He also kills the different demons. That way, he actually helps the Lord in maintaining this world. So, in comparison to, for example, other demigods, like for example, Indra, Chandra. So these demigods, they are like different poses which change after one manvantara. But in the case of the Rudras, it is not like that is there for the whole lifetime of Brahma. It is not that they don't change. That is like another difference is there. So, so this is something about the identity of Lord Shiva, which is described in Brahma Samhita. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam third canto, Maitreya Rishi describes about the birth of Shiva in the material world. So, in the material world, the Lord Shiva is born as the son of Lord Brahma. So, Lord Brahma is a secondary creator who assists the Supreme Lord in creation. So, Lord Brahma, he had his four sons, the four Kumaras. So, just like any person, somebody is having a business, so he would want the sons to actually assist him in the business. Somebody is doing a cloth business, he tells the sons, so you should also, he expects the sons to actually assist in his business. Because here in the case of Lord Brahma, his service to the Supreme Lord, we can say his business or his service to the Supreme Lord is actually to create the living entities. So when he creates different sons, he expects that the living entities would actually assist him in his service to the Supreme Lord. So he requested the four Kumaras that to get married and procreate living entities. That way they can assist them in his service to the Lord. But the four Kumaras, they refused to follow the order of Lord Brahma. They felt that they may get diverted in their spiritual practice by getting married and procreating children. So they may get diverted by the different responsibilities. So they actually refused to follow the order of their father for a higher purpose. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that one can disobey the orders of the superiors like the father for a higher purpose. So for the higher purpose, the four Kumaras actually disobeyed that order. So then when four Kumaras disobeyed the order, the Lord Brahma became very angry. But Lord Brahma knew that the four Kumaras, they are actually very highly advanced spiritual personalities. And he knew that he cannot actually exhibit his anger towards the four Kumaras. So therefore, he tried to control his anger. So Prabhupada explains in that purport that because Lord Brahma was absorbed in the mode of passion, it was natural for him to become angry. So whenever there is an absorption in the mode of passion, when somebody refuses to say accept your proposal, then one will naturally become angry. So Lord Brahma, but he understood that he cannot actually exhibit his anger about the four Kumaras, so he tried to suppress his anger, but that anger manifested in the form of Rudra. So from between his eyebrows a personality came out. That personality is called as Rudra, and who later actually expanded into 11 forms. So there are actually 11 Rudra forms. So then, so in this way, in this world, Lord Shiva is born as the son of Lord Brahma. So that is the description of in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One devotee, of course, put a nice lesson in this. You can take it in that form. Like when Lord Brahma requested the four Kumaras actually to obey his order, but the Kumaras actually refused. So there is a conflict between Brahma and the four Kumaras. Both of them represent actually, say, two sampradayas. So when there is a conflict between two sampradayas, the third sampradaya actually took birth. So similarly, like when there is a, we can take a lesson that when there is a conflict between the Vaishnavas, it will manifest in another way, which can be sometimes harmful to the society of Vaishnavas. So now going ahead, and about Lord Shiva, so in the Srimad Bhagavatam 12th canto, it is described that Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. So among the Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is considered as a topmost Vaishnava. So we see actually there are many Puranas. For example, different Puranas, they glorify different personalities, different demigods. Some Puranas glorify Lord Brahma, some Puranas glorify Lord, they say, Kartikeya, Ganesh, or Shiva. So sometimes one may get confused, like, who is actually the Supreme Lord? So it is described, Matsya Puran gives a list of Puranas which are in Sattva Guna, which are the Puranas which are in Rajogun, and which are the Puranas in Tamogun. So Matsya Puran gives a list. And in that list, Matsya Puran mentions that Shiva Puran and Linga Puran, it comes under the category of the Puranas in Tamogun. And it is described in the scriptures that Sattva Gun is better than Rajogun, and which is better than Tamogun. And so therefore, naturally speaking, that the Puranas in Sattva Gun are actually superior to the other Puranas. So why is it that in the different Puranas, Lord Shiva, or for that matter, some other demigod is glorified as supreme? Because Krishna explains in the Gita, Yo yam yam tanum bhakta shraddayarchitu michyati tasya tasya chalam shraddam tameva vidadam yaham. He says that whenever a person wants to worship a particular demigod, I make the faith of that person steady so that he can devote himself to that particular deity. Tasya tasya chalam shraddam, achalam shraddam. I make the faith of the person steady so that he can actually focus on that particular demigod. In that sense, Krishna is not concerned about establishing himself as the supreme, but he is concerned about how to actually elevate different people. If somebody is not ready to accept him, okay, Krishna proposes, okay, if you cannot accept me, it is all right, but you cannot accept some other authority who is appointed by me. And in that way, you can make at least some progress. So Krishna is not concerned about like making himself as, boasting himself as the supreme, but he is more concerned with elevating different people according to their nature, according to their position. So that is the principle of demigod worship. Like for in the Nectar of Devotion, when Rupa Goswami talks about Dasya Ras, so he describes actually different types of dasas. He says that Ashrita Dasa, Parshada Dasa, Anuga Dasa. I think one more category explains. So Ashrita Dasa means one of the categories, appointed servants. So in the category of appointed servants, like the demigods, like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and other people, they come into the category of appointed servants. and there are other servants like Parshadas, Anugas. So Lord Krishna actually makes a guides a person to makes a person's faith steady so that a person can worship some other deity. So that is why when you read Linga Puran or Shiva Puran or other Puranas, so in order to elevate those people who are in the lower modes, so the different demigods are glorified so that by worshipping the demigod at least they are coming one step closer, they are making some more advancement. So in that way, that's why this the other Puranas, different demigods are glorified. And also, like another example, another point is mentioned by Jiva Goswami in the Tattva Sandarbha. He says that if you read Linga Puran, in the Linga Puran, the sages ask a question to Suta Goswami. The question which they ask is that, please tell about the glories of Linga. Please tell about the glories of Shiva. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the question which is put forward to Suta Goswami is that, please tell us what is the ultimate good. What is the essence of all the scriptures? What is the ultimate good by which a person can be completely satisfied? Enatma suprasidati. By which the soul can be completely satisfied. The intelligence can be completely satisfied. So just if you just try to compare the questions. So the question put forward in the other Puranas, like Linga Puran and Shiva Puran, or for that matter other Puranas, the question itself is actually, it is not allowing the speaker, it is not giving a room for the speaker to speak about the highest thing. The question is, the speaker may be knowing much more, but because the question is only about a limited subject matter, so therefore in those Puranas, the highest good is not talked about. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisharanya, the question put forward by the sages of Naimisharanya, it is giving complete freedom for the speaker to speak about the highest goal. So usually the principle in a spiritual discourse is that, like, unless the person is ready to receive the highest, then one does not actually speak that. Krishna says that he says that one should not give this knowledge to those who are not austere, those who are not actually faithful, explains in the Gita. So in that sense, because in the other Purana the question is actually limiting, so therefore they naturally those glories are only talked about. And another evidence, for example, Lord Shiva tells in the Skanda Puran. So he tells tells a statement about the Shiva Puran. So he says, Shiva Shastreshu Tad Grahyam Bhagavat Shastra Yogiyat. Shiva Shastreshu Tad Grahyam. That means the statements of the Shiva scriptures, the statements of those scriptures which talk about Lord Shiva, Tad Grahyam should be accepted. Bhagavat Shastra Yogiyat should be accepted only when they agree with the Vishnu scriptures. And then he says, Paramo Vishnur Evaikas. Paramo Vishnu Evaikas. Lord Vishnu is the only Supreme Lord. Tad Jnanam Moksha Sadhanam. And knowledge of him is the path to liberation. Shastranam Nirnayastu. This is the conclusion of all scriptures, and any other conclusions are meant only to bewilder the people. Yeshastad Anyam Mohanaya Hiti. So this is a statement of Lord Shiva about the scriptures which talk about him only. How they should be understood. He is mentioning that in the Skanda Puran. And also we see Lord Vyasdev, after writing all the Puranas, he became dissatisfied. And then under the guidance of Narada Muni, he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam, well, it is not just the Purana in the mode of goodness, it is actually the, it is a Amala Purana, it is a transcendental Vedic literature. So Srimad Bhagavatam, so therefore the statements of the Srimad Bhagavatam has got the highest authority. It is like the Supreme Court judgment. The statements of the other Puranas are like the judgment given in Munsif Court, District Court or High Court. So when there is a Supreme Court verdict, there can be nothing above it. So therefore the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, so Jiva Goswami has explained that Sarva the Chakravarti Pramanam, he says that Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the emperor among all the Pramanas. So therefore the verdict is actually the highest weightage is given to the statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And yeah, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll just like randomly mention different places from the Bhagavatam. Like for example, in the first canto, when Arjuna is actually recollecting the remembrance of Krishna, and he's trying to remember Krishna after Krishna's disappearance. So after Krishna's disappearance, Arjuna is trying to remember how by Krishna's mercy they could actually cross over so many obstacles. And they are mentioning different, so in that Arjuna is remembering that how by Krishna's mercy he is feeling that I actually fought with Lord Shiva, and even though I fought with Lord Shiva, I was able to please Lord Shiva. So once Arjuna, he was actually like Lord Shiva came in the disguise of a hunter, and Arjuna was fighting with that hunter, and the fight, it was such an intense fight, and Lord Shiva became so pleased with Arjuna, although Arjuna was fighting with him. So Prabhupada writes in that purport that Ravana is a devotee of Lord Shiva, and but he is a declared enemy of Lord Ram. Although he is a devotee of Lord Shiva, but he could not be saved by Lord Shiva in the fight against Lord Ram. But Arjuna is a devotee of Lord Krishna, but he was able to please Lord Shiva even though he was actually fighting with Lord Shiva. So this shows the how the position of a devotee, how Lord Shiva becomes very pleased with the devotee even though he was actually fighting with him. And another place it is described in the Kapila Dev's teachings to Devahuti. Kapila Dev describes how to meditate on the different limbs of the Lord. So Kapila Dev says, Yachraucha Nishrita Sarit Pravaroda Kena Tirtena Murdi Adikritena Shiva Shivobhut Dhyatur Mana Shamala Shaila Nisrishta Makshno Dhyayet Chiram Bhagavatas Charanaravindam. So Kapila Dev describes that how one should meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. And in order to describe the lotus feet of the Lord, he says that the water which had washed the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, that water is carried by the Lord Shiva on his head. Yachraucha Nishrita Sarid Pravarodakena Tirtena Murdi Adikritena Shiva Shivobhut. So Lord Shiva, he became even more auspicious by carrying the water which had washed the lotus feet of Supreme Lord. And one should meditate on that lotus feet of Supreme Lord, which acts like a thunderbolt. Dhyatur Mana Shamala Shaila Nisrishta Makshnu. The Lord's lotus feet is compared to a thunderbolt. And the contamination which is there in the heart of a person, it is like a huge mountain of contamination. So when you want to break the mountain, you cannot bring ordinary JCB. You need actually the help of a thunderbolt. So it said that the Lord's lotus feet is compared to a thunderbolt. And when you meditate on the lotus feet of Supreme Lord for a long time, that contamination within the heart of the sadhaka, it will get destroyed. And to describe the lotus feet, it describes, so Prabhupada writes in the purport that the connection with the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Lord Shiva is already blessed, but the blessed Lord Shiva became even more blessed. He became even more auspicious because of the connection with the lotus feet of Supreme Lord. Then what to speak of if that is the case? If Lord Shiva himself becomes even more auspicious, he becomes even more blessed. If he becomes blessed by the connection of the lotus of the Supreme Lord, then what to speak of others? So that is how he actually glorifies Lord Shiva. And yeah, in the Brihad Bhagavata Amrita, there's another beautiful point which is explained, that actually in one sense, like the Lord Shiva's service within the material world as a Rudra, his service comes at the end. His service comes at the end. He's supposed to, his service is actually destroyed. But one may wonder, if the service is actually at the end of the creation, but why is he created in the beginning? So one may get this question. So the reason is explained. The reason is that because the Supreme Lord wanted to teach the living entities through Lord Shiva and Parvati. What does he want to teach? He wants to teach that how Lord Shiva and Parvati, they are absorbed in devotional service to the Lord. So Lord Shiva is the husband of Parvati, who is a material energy, and she actually gives all the material benedictions. But so in that sense, like Lord Shiva is the husband of the material energy, but if we see his living conditions, he does not even have a house. Like once, like he made a house and there was a Graha Pravesha ceremony, and in the Graha Pravesha ceremony, different people came to attend, and he was giving different charity, and he gave so much in charity, ultimately nothing was left, and then he gave the house itself as a charity. So in that sense, Lord Shiva is the husband of the material energy, but he is actually absorbed in devotional service to the Lord. So if any intelligent person, if he sees that, like just like for example, somebody is marketing something, marketing some product. Like Radhanath Swami Maharaj gave this example that some years back, so they made a survey among the cigarette company owners, about the cigarette company owners and the marketing heads in America. Do they actually smoke the cigarettes? But they found that all these people, all the cigarette company owners, none of them actually smoke the cigarettes which they are manufacturing. So if an intelligent person to see, if they are promoting this product, but if they themselves are not consuming, that means there must be something wrong in this product. So even we can take in another way also, like as devotees we may be marketing Bhagavad Gita. But are we taking inspiration from the Gita and the Bhagavatam? Some outside people, they say, oh, they are only marketing, but they are not actually taking inspiration from Gita and the Bhagavatam. That means like, oh, there may be something wrong with this book. They may get the... Or maybe marketing eco-friendly living, but if you are averse to using eco-friendly products, then people will think, oh, means they are not, their heart is not into it. They are just for out... just for outward show, they are just marketing. One may, any intelligent person will think like that. So similarly, Lord Shiva is the husband of the god Parvati, but he is not actually interested in enjoying any material opulences. So that means anybody would come to know that he must be having something superior. He must be relishing some superior happiness. So what is that superior happiness? So that is what is actually devotional service of the Lord. Lord Shiva is always absorbed in chanting the holy names of Lord Ram. And so that is why Lord Shiva, although his service comes in the end, he is created in the beginning because Lord wanted to teach the example through Lord Shiva and Parvati. And of course, I also mentioned that Lord Shiva assists the Lord in maintenance of this world by killing the demons. So, and in the fourth canto, there is a beautiful section which comes in the fourth canto, 24th chapter, about the Prachetas, Lord Shiva meeting the Prachetas, the song sung by Lord Shiva. So we'll discuss some verses from this chapter. So it is in the 11th canto, one of the Navayogendras, they describe the three kinds of devotees: Uttamadhikari, Madhyamadhikari and Kanishtadhikari. So Uttamadhikari is described as that person Sarvabhuteshu Yahapashyet Bhavam Avyayam Atmanaha. So that means Uttamadhikari is that person who sees Krishna in every living entity, situated in every living entity, and he sees every living entity. He sees Krishna in every living entity, and he sees every living entity as being situated in Krishna. Means like he sees everything in relation to Krishna. Just like a say greedy person, or he sees everything as an opportunity to earn money. So similarly, Mahabhagavat, a devotee, he sees everything in connection with Krishna. So such a Mahabhagavat devotee, he will even see an ordinary person as actually a devotee. He will think that he is the only non-devotee. But then it's explained by the acharyas in the purport. But although the Mahabhagavats, they have got such an advanced vision of seeing everything in relation to Krishna. Like in the case of Madhyamadhikari, he actually discriminates. He discriminates between that he worships the Supreme Lord, he makes friendship with the devotees, he shows compassion to the innocent people, and he avoids the envious people. So there is a discrimination. And in the case of Kanishtadhikari, he does not he worships the Lord, but then he quarrels with the devotees. So, but in the case of Uttamadhikari, so in the sense, Uttamadhikari, he sees everything in connection to Krishna. But even that Uttamadhikari, or that Mahabhagavat devotee, when he meets the devotees of the Lord, he especially experiences his great pleasure. Although he may see even ordinary person in relation to Krishna, he may see, but still when he meets the devotees of the Lord, he actually shows his great pleasure upon a meeting the devotee of the Lord. And in that connection, I think Jiva Goswami gives the example of Lord Shiva meeting with the Prachetas. Because Lord Shiva is a great Mahabhagavat. He is the Uttamadhikari. But when he met the Prachetas, he actually expresses his great pleasure upon meeting the devotees of the Lord. So, in the fourth canto, 24th chapter, the Prachetas were the sons of a king called as Prachina Barishat. So, Prachina Barishat sent his sons to perform austerities to get purified before taking up the responsibility of kingships, and then like before entering the grihastha ashram, before taking the responsibility of a kingship. So they actually went to perform austerities. So they went, they came to a place and where there is like a, such a, there are so many birds and trees and different kinds of birds, and there is a huge reservoir of water which contained very clear water. And it is described that the huge reservoir of water appeared like the, it was as pure like the mind of a great soul. Mind of a great soul. And when they came there, and there Lord Shiva, actually Lord Shiva was present there, and Lord Shiva comes out of the reservoir of water, and when he sees the Prachetas, and he speaks beautiful verses to Prachetas, and he actually he gives what is called as Rudra Geet, the song sung by Lord Shiva. Yuyam Vedishada Putra Viditam Vas Chikirshitam Anugrahaya Badram Va Evam Me Darshanam Kritam. So it is described that Lord Shiva says that I know that all of you are actually devotees of Lord Vishnu. So Lord Shiva is also omniscient. Lord Shiva is called as Vishwanath. He is the master of the universe. But Krishna is called as Ananta Koti Brahmanda Nayaka. He is the master of all the universes. So for the, like, Krishna actually empowers Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Yamaraj with the power of omniscience for discharging the duties in this world. So Lord Shiva says that, I know that all of you, for what purpose you have come here. And I am visible to you just to show my mercy upon you. So Srila Prabhupada says that the Prachetas, they have gone to perform devotional service to the Lord. They are not even begun their devotional service. But Lord Shiva is so pleased with the Prachetas because they are having a desire to perform devotional service to Vishnu. If Lord Shiva is so pleased with somebody who is having even having a desire to perform devotional service to Vishnu, then how much more he will be pleased with somebody who is actually performing devotional service to Vishnu. So then Lord Shiva says, Yaha param ramhasa sakshat trigunat jiva samyitat bhagavantam vasudevam prapannasa priyohime. And he says that any person who is surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of everything, is actually very dear to me. So he is making a very clear statement that anybody who is surrendered to Vishnu, he is actually very dear to me. And then he says that swadharma nishta means one who is firmly performing his swadharma. So swadharma means when we talk about swadharma, there is a material swadharma and a spiritual swadharma. The spiritual swadharma is the swadharma of the spirit soul. The spirit soul, the swadharma of the spirit soul is to engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. The material swadharma is that the swadharma according to his position in the varnashram. So, like when we perform our swadharma, there will be individual satisfaction and you will also be able to contribute to the society. So, when we know what is our swadharma, when we execute our swadharma, there will be personal growth and there will also be growth of the society. And whenever a person does not perform his swadharma, and there will be individual dissatisfaction, and the people who are around us, they will also get disturbed. So one has to know what is one's swadharma, what are one's duties according to his position in this world. So swadharma nishta means when a person is performing his swadharma according to varnashram, Shata Janma Bhi Puman, for 100 lifetimes. then what will a person achieve? Virinchatam yeti. He becomes qualified to take the position of Lord Brahma. And virinchatam yeti tatap param himam. And when a person becomes even more qualified, when a person performs even more pious credits, then a person can approach me. That is Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is speaking this verse. And then he says, avyakritam bhagavatota vaishnavam padam yatagam vibhuda kalatyaye. But on the other hand, a person who is directly surrendered to Krishna in avyakritam, in unallied devotional service, he is immediately promoted to the spiritual planets. And Lord Shiva and other demigods attain these planets only after the destruction of this material world. So in that sense, like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, even if they want to go to the spiritual world, they cannot go. They have to complete their tenure. Like in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, Lord Brahma feels very much repentant that how he tried to exercise his power over Lord Krishna. And then he feels very repentant, and then he offers beautiful prayers, and he wanted to simply take birth as an ordinary stone or a creeper in Vrindavan. But Lord Krishna did not approve that, because his tenure is not yet over. Vishnu Chakravartipad says that according to Vedanta Sutra, one who has actually taken a particular position should actually complete his tenure. Because later, otherwise, it will again come back to us. So Lord Shiva and other demigods, they go back to the spiritual world only after the tenure, after the destruction of the material world. But one who is engaged in unallied devotional service is immediately promoted. So Lord Shiva is actually, in that way, telling to the Prachetas. And then he says, Atha Bhagavata Yuyam Priyastha Bhagavan Yata Namat Bhagavatanam Cha Preyan Anyosti Karihichit. He says that you are all devotees of the Supreme Lord, and as such, I appreciate you and I respect you as good as the Supreme Personality of God. So we can see that Lord Shiva, I remember Gaurang Prabhu was giving a series of lectures on Rudra Gita. He was studying in 2001. So one of the points he was mentioning, that usually sometimes, there are some certain religions, they want to convert people from one religion to another religion. So conversions are happening in different places. Usually these conversions happen only in the villages. We don't see conversions happening. They don't try to convert some educated people, those who are some wealthy people or something. So they basically target the villagers or some poor people who are in need of something. They actually, they enamor them by, we will give some certain material benefits, etc. Those who are illiterate people. So in that sense, if we see from that point of view, Prachetas, they are just innocent, small boys. They are not very young people. So, nonsense, it is easy to actually convert them. If Lord Shiva had wanted them to convert them to become Shaivites, he would have easily converted. And Lord Shiva, but he is actually, he is instructing them in how to worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So he says that I appreciate you, I respect you as good as the Supreme Lord. I give the same respect as I give to the Supreme Lord. So then Lord Shiva starts speaking what is called as Rudra Geet. There is a series of some 35 verses. But there are very beautiful verses, maybe few verses I will just try to describe. So in this prayers of Lord Shiva, he glorifies the Chaturvyuha form of the Lord. Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. And he describes the time feature of the Lord. He describes the Brahman feature of the Lord, the Paramatma feature of the Lord. He glorifies the process of devotional service. So he says that idam te atma vitvariya swastaye swasti rastume bhavata radasa radam sarvasma atmane namaha. Says that all glories unto you, you are the most exalted of all self-realized souls. Atma vit variya. Atma vit means self-realized person, one who is a knower of Atma. And you are the master of all the self-realized souls. And then he glorifies, so let there be all auspiciousness, let there be all auspicious unto me, so that I can be engaged in your devotional service. And then he explains that Nama Pankaja Nabaya Bhuta Sukshmendriyatmane Vasudevaya Shantaya Kutastaya Swarochishe. I offer my obeisances to that Supreme Lord who has got a lotus navel, who is the Vasudev. So Lord Vasudev is the master of consciousness. Lord Sankarshan is the master of ego. Sankarshanaya Sukshmaya Durantaya Antakaya Cha. Lord Sankarshan is the master of integration and disintegration, so Prabhupada translates. So Lord Sankarshan is the master of ego. Nama Vishwa Prabodaya Pradyumnaya Antaratmane. He offers obeisances to Pradyumna, who is the master of intelligence. Namo Namo Aniruddhaya. I offer my obeisances to Lord Aniruddha, who is the master of mind. So in offering prayers to Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha, his essential mood is that let my ego be engaged in your service. Let my intelligence be engaged in your service. And please engage my mind in your devotional service. So that is the underlying mood in these prayers. And then he says that Nama Urje Ishetraya Pataye Yajna Retase Tripti Dayacha Jivanam Nama Sarva Rasatmane. So what he says is that you are the provider of the Pitrulokas as well as the demigods. And you are the predominating deity of the moon and the master of all three Vedas. So in this prayer, what Lord Shiva is essentially praying is that, so in this world we have different obligations towards demigods, society, people in general. So Lord Shiva says that I want to render devotional service unto you so that I don't, the sense, so that all my obligation towards others will be fulfilled. So Lord Shiva is praying that, Prabhupada writes in this purport that one has obligation toward the forefathers, the previous hierarchy, but Lord Shiva prays to Lord Aniruddha to give him strength so that he can become free from all obligation to the pitas, the demigods, general living entities and the saintly persons, and completely engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. And he also says that Nama Sarva Rasatmane. So Sarva Rasatmane, that means moon god actually gives taste to all the vegetables. Gita also explains that somo bhutva rasatmakaha. So moon god gives taste to all the vegetables. So that moon god gets the power from Lord, the Supreme Lord. So he says that what he explains is that let me be satisfied simply by taking your prasadam. I do not want to depend on anything apart from your prasadam for my existence. So that is the essential mood of the prayer by offering, by glorifying the moon god. And then he says that Artha Lingaya Namase Namontar Bahiratmane Nama Punyaya Lokaya Amushmai Buri Varchase. He glorifies the holy name of the Lord. My dear Lord, by expanding your transcendental vibrations, you reveal the actual meaning of everything. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, the entire material world and the entire spiritual world, everything will be revealed by chanting the holy name of the Lord. That sense, the holy name contains everything. Sometimes one may wonder that, oh, Srila Prabhupada has not given the highest thing. So, maybe in order to get Raganuga Bhakti, something highest, we should go to some other place. But Prabhupada has given the holy name, and by chanting the holy name, the entire material world and the spiritual world, everything will be revealed. So what else is there? What else is left? So Prabhupada writes that. And then Lord Shiva actually glorifies the beauty of the Lord in minute details. He says that darshanam no didrikshunam dehi bhagavatarchitam rupam priyatamam swanam sarvendriya gunanjanam. So he describes different features of the Lord, but he especially gives special attention to describing the personality of Godhead, the personal feature of the Lord. And many verses in minute details he actually describes. So darshanam no didrikshunam, I wish to see you exactly in the form that your very dear devotees worship. And here it is explained that sarvendriya gunanjanam. Sarvendriya gunanjanam means that form of Krishna will completely satisfy all the senses. It will satisfy all the demands of the senses. Like in the material platform, a material object can satisfy only one sense. When you are hungry, by hearing some nice music, you won't be satisfied. You have to eat some foodstuffs. And by eating foodstuffs, your like demand for maybe hearing some nice music, that will not be satisfied. So material platform, one sense object can satisfy only one sense. But in the spiritual platform, the spiritual sense object can satisfy the demands of all the senses. Sarvendriya gunanjanam, the form of Krishna, he says that it can perfectly satisfy all the demands of the senses. And then he says, snigdha pravrit ganashyamam sarva saundarya sangraham charvayata chaturbahu sujata ruchirananam. He says that Lord Swam snigdha pravrit ganashyamam, it is a very beautiful, like the beautiful rain cloud. Ganashyamam. Devotee Ganshyam Prabhu is there. So Ganshyamam. So Prabhupada says that the Lord's beauty is compared to rainfall, because when the rain falls in the rainy season, it becomes more and more pleasing to the people. So Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. Sarva Saundarya Sangraham means that Krishna's form is the collection of all beauty. It is a reservoir of all the beauty. So Srila Prabhupada gives a very beautiful purport. So Sarva Saundarya Sangraham is the reservoir of all beauty. It means that Krishna is all attractive. Because it is the reservoir of all beauty, but different people may be attracted towards different flavors of beauty. But why Krishna is all attractive? Because he actually is the reservoir of all the beauties. So therefore he is all attractive. But in Vrindavan, Krishna was not liked by the demons. Demons came to kill Krishna. But in Vrindavan, Krishna's devotees, in the form of the six Goswamis were described as Dhira, Dhira, Adhira, Janapriyav. They were loved by both the Dhiras and Adhiras. They were loved by both the gentle people and also by the ruffians. So that means Krishna made his devotees exhibit this opulence more than what he himself exhibited. So Prabhupada explains that Krishna likes to make his devotees more famous. Krishna likes to give more credits to the devotees. This is the beauty of the Lord's dealing with his devotees. Sometimes the Lord gives more credit to his devotees than he takes for himself. In another verse, Lord Shiva says, Pura Rechaka Samvigna Vali Valgu Dalodaram Prati Sankramayat Vishwam Nabhya Varta Gabiraya. So Lord Shiva describes the navel of the Lord. So usually navel is not something very attractive part of a person's body. But Lord Shiva describes even the navel of the Lord. When the universe came from the navel of the Lord, and the universe being attracted by the navel of the Supreme Lord, it again wanted to enter into the navel. So this means, this shows actually how Krishna is all attractive. So one thing, another thing Prabhupada writes in the purport, like one of the previous purport in this purport also, when Prachetas actually came to that place, they came to the abode of Lord Shiva, and Maitreya Rishi describes in detail about the abode of Lord Shiva, how there were so many types of trees and so many types of birds, and so many details are described. That means the abode of Lord Shiva is filled with variety. And Lord Shiva, in his description of the Supreme Lord's form, he is describing the minute details of the features of the different, the form of Lord Shiva, Lord Krishna. But the followers of Lord Shiva, they are impersonalists. They worship Lord Shiva in order to merge into Brahma. The followers of Lord Shiva, they actually worship Lord Shiva in order to go to that place which is without variety. But Lord Shiva's abode is filled with variety, and he is actually attracted to, he is describing the form of Lord Krishna which is filled with so much of variety. And he describes so many details of the forms of the Lord Krishna. So one should logically think that if he is interested in so much of variety, they're worshipping them to go to the place where there is no variety. But if we try to contemplate, he is actually there in that place which is filled with so much of variety, and he is actually describing the minute details of the Lord's form. So that means the natural position is to go to the spiritual world, which is actually filled with variety, to be attracted to the beautiful form of the Lord. Another place, another verse, Lord Shiva says, he says that, Simhaskanda Tvisho Bibrad Saubhaga Griva Kaustubam Shriyana Payanya Kshipta Nikashoshma Rasolasat. So he says that the Krishna's form, his shoulders are like the shoulders of a lion, Simhaskanda Tvisho Bibrad. And in Krishna's form, he has got a beautiful Kaustubha gem. And that Kaustubha gem, he has got a Kaustubha gem on his chest, and there are he has got a Srivatsa hair on his body. The Srivatsa, so Lord's form is blackish like a dark rain cloud, and the Srivatsa is golden in color. So when the golden colored Srivatsa in the background of that Lord's blackish chest, it is so beautiful, it actually defeats the beauty of a gold testing stone. So, gold testing stone, like when a goldsmith wants to test, actually it is a real gold, he will actually rub the gold against the gold testing stone. The gold testing stone is actually black and dark in color. And by seeing the streaks of which is actually emanating, he will actually identify. So, that golden streaks in the background of that gold, and that black stone, it appears beautiful. But the Lord's beauty, it actually excels the beauty of this gold testing stone. And then Lord Shiva describes even the, like he exhibits, so he says that Kshanarde napi tulaye nasvargam napunar bhavam பகவத் சங்கி சங்கசிய மர்த்தியானாம் கிம் உதாசிஷஹ. Even the moment's association with the devotees of the Lord cannot be compared with Kshanarde Napi Tulayam Nasvargam Napunar Bhavam. It cannot be compared with the heavenly planets. It cannot be compared with liberation. And what to speak of any of the benedictions of this particular world. Bhagavat Sanghi Sanghasya Martyanam Kim Utasisha, which are anyway going to be perishable. In that way, Lord Shiva is actually glorifying the value of association with the devotees of the Lord. And then Lord Shiva describes the time feature of the Lord. In three beautiful verses, he gives three analogies. In one verse, he says, Pramatta Muchair Itikritya Chintaya Pravruddha Lobam Vishayeshu Lalasam Tvam Apramatta Sahasabhi Padyate Shulleli Hanohur Ivaku Mantaka. Pramattam means, it can mean those who are mad or those who are inattentive. Pramattam Uchair Iti Kritya Chintaya. The living entities in this world who are mad after sense gratification, who are inattentive and who are greedy to accumulate so many objects, Pramattam Uchair Iti Kritya Chintaya Pravruddha Lobam, out of greed, Vishayeshu Lalasam, they are going after different sense objects, Lalasa, greed. But Tvam Apramatta, but you are perfectly attentive, you are completely detached. Tvam Apramatta Sahasabhi Padyase Shulleli Hanohur Ivaku Mantaka. You are completely attentive and you are completely detached, and you, in the form of the time factor, you take away, although the living entities are wanting to accumulate so many things, they are mad after accumulating so many things, but you, in your time factor, in the form of your time factor, you actually take away everything. Just like a mouse actually works hard to actually build a house, etc. And then finally the snake comes, and then actually swallows the mouse, and then starts residing there. Shulleli hanohur ivaku mantaka. And this is the time actually takes away everything. And then he says that srishtam shvashakyedam anupravishtas chaturvidam puram atmamshakena ato vidustam purusham santamantar bungte rishikair madusaragamya. Srishtam swashakyedam. He says that after creating this material world, you entered into this material world, after creating the four types of living entities which are born through perspiration or through eggs or in the wombs or through seeds, after creating this world, you have entered this material world as a super soul. Ato vidustam purusham santamantar. You know what is the desire of every living entity. Bungte rishikair madusaragamya. And again, another beautiful analogy is given. Just like the bumblebees, they go to different flowers and they accumulate honey. Few drops of honey, they accumulate honey and then they bring the honey to the beehive. After putting so much of effort, they accumulate a huge quantity of honey in the beehive. But a farmer comes, and then he actually takes the entire honey in the beehive. So similarly, like, you in the form of, people are putting so much of effort to actually accumulate so many things, but you in the form of your time factor, you actually, at one shot, you take away everything. In that we actually glorify the time factor. And then, yeah, maybe last few points. So, and in the Lord Shiva, in the eighth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the episode of Samudra Manthan, because two instances come, in the Samudra Manthan, when poison comes out from the Samudra Manthan, then Lord Vishnu tells all the demigods to actually go to Lord Shiva, to approach Lord Shiva, because he wants to make Lord Shiva actually famous. So there was like Kalakuta poison, the ocean of poison came. It's a huge, very, very powerful Kalakuta poison came out. But Lord Shiva, seeing the distress of all the demigods, he actually drank that Kalakuta poison. Tapyante loka tapena sadhavo prayasho sadhavo prayasho jana. So tapyante loka tapena. So the great saintly people, they are always concerned with the welfare of others. Parama aradhanam taddi. It describes that. And by doing welfare for the people, that is the highest way of worshipping Lord Vishnu. So Lord Shiva, why is he called as the topmost Vaishnava? Because he is engaged in serving Lord Vishnu. He is actually selflessly engaged in serving Lord Vishnu. He actually consumed the Kalakuta poison. And before consuming the poison, it is described that he actually took the permission of Parvati Devi. And Parvati Devi, because she knew the power of Lord Shiva, the word which is used is that Prabhavagya. Because she knew the power of Lord Shiva, she gave permission to Lord Shiva. So Prabhupada writes in one purport in fourth canto, that when a person is performing a good activity, pious activity, good activity, not only a person who is performing that activity, one who is directing that activity, one who is supporting that activity, one who gives permission to do that activity, all of them get the credit. So, it is also a sacrifice on the part of Parvati Devi. And she actually gave permission to Lord Shiva. In that sense, she also took part in that sacrifice of Lord Shiva by supporting that. So Lord Shiva drank that poison, and that poison, because of the poison, his throat became actually blue in color. So one may think it is a scar on the throat of Lord Shiva, but it is actually ornament on the throat of the ornament of Lord Shiva. On the other hand, Rahu, he drank. Like he was drinking nectar. Then Mohini Murthy actually chopped off the head of Rahu. But Rahu is considered as a evil planet because he wanted to drink nectar only for his sake. Although he drank nectar because he had a selfish attitude, but he is considered as an evil planet. But Lord Shiva, although he drank poison for a selfless reason, and that poison in the throat of Lord Shiva, it became an ornament of Lord Shiva. Another beautiful lesson is that Lord Shiva drank the poison, but he did not allow the poison to go below the throat. If it had gone below the throat, it would have affected his heart and functioning. So the lesson is that when you try to help a person, you have to help a person in such a way that at the same time you don't get affected by it. It's like doctor is treating TB patients. Like he should, in trying to treat the TB patients, like he should be careful. He should not get affected by the TB. So in that sense, Lord Shiva, he helped the demigods without himself getting affected. So when we are trying to share Krishna consciousness, like we have to do our sadhana properly so that we don't get affected by the others' vibrations. And finally, in the episode of Mohini Murthy, well, this is one may think that it's a little controversial episode, but there are very, very beautiful lessons. Like for example, like Mohini Murthy episode is that Lord Shiva became attracted, he wanted to see that Mohini form of the Lord, which he manifested to bewilder the demons, to distribute the nectar. But when Lord Vishnu actually showed that form, and Lord Shiva became so bewildered, and he was actually running to embrace that Mohini Murthy. So the point, just few points I will just mention. Like if you see in the modern world, when the modern media present, the modern media is especially interested in presenting some scandalous stories. different scandals of leaders, or maybe some bribes, or some sex scandal, or different scandals. So whenever such scandals happen, like that becomes the news all 6 times a day, or especially if some other hot news has not come, that comes all the time. So the modern media, when they present the scandals, they present in a way, they just want to actually, not in a positive manner. They don't present in the sense, like Srimad Bhagavatam also presents the different scandalous stories. Or the Puranas also mention different scandalous stories. But when the Srimad Bhagavatam presents the scandalous stories, the focus is on, so how lust is very dangerous, how pride is very dangerous. So they want to highlight on this anarthas, and then how we can actually overcome these anarthas. But in the modern newspapers or magazines, we never hear such purports. Oh, such scandals happened, so one has to be careful about these anarthas, and one has to get rid of these anarthas by following this process. So there is never, they're not interested in actually making people actually get rid of these anarthas. In fact, they go into such minute details. By reading those stories, a person becomes more agitated. So, but Bhagavatam does not hide these stories. Bhagavatam presents in order to highlight the danger of these vices and how to guard against these anarthas. And Lord Shiva, actually Lord Shiva, it's explained that Lord Shiva, in order to glorify Lord Vishnu, from a divine perspective, in order to glorify Lord Vishnu, he actually ran after Mohini Murthy. That the illusory energy of my Supreme Lord is so powerful that it can bewilder even me. So he wanted to glorify the Lord at the cost of being ridiculed in front of his followers. Like he was actually running, like in front of Mohini Murthy, went towards those people, those places where Lord Shiva's followers are actually meditating upon Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva was so much concerned in glorification of the Supreme Lord and not concerned about how my followers would think, that he was ready to be ridiculed just for the glorification of the Lord. So that is like a very great service. And of course, from a human perspective, Prabhupada says that Lord Shiva was the lesson. We can take another lesson which Prabhupada highlights, is that Lord Shiva was little overconfident. The demigods did not get bewildered by seeing the form of Mohini Murthy. So I will definitely not get bewildered because I am the leader of the demigods. So whenever a person is actually little overconfident, and a batsman is overconfident when he has hit 2 sixes, when he tries to hit anything, then he gets out. So how one should not be overconfident? So Lord wanted to actually trust the, how one should not be proud, one should not be overconfident. So that is from a human perspective, that lesson. But from a divine perspective, it is a leela of the Lord, and Lord Shiva is ready to be ridiculed. And when he actually came to his senses, that how he had been bewildered by the form of Mohini Murthy. Usually when a person is in the position of a leadership, and when he commits a very grave mistake right in front of his followers, here right in Lord Shiva, right in front of even his wife and his followers, one would think that it would be such an embarrassing situation. But Lord Shiva's first response was that, oh, how powerful is the illusory energy of my master. So that is the first verse which Lord Shiva speaks. That means Lord Shiva is so much absorbed in the glories of Krishna that absorption was so great that even that feeling of shame, it did not actually come in the way of that absorption of Krishna. So we can see that a devotee is not a person who does not commit mistakes. Sometimes we have an idealistic picture of a devotee. Like Prabhupada tells in one letter that do not think that the Hare Krishna movement as some utopian place. even in the Krishna conscious society, there may be certain shortcomings and different problems. It may be there. So when you have a utopian picture that in the society of Krishna consciousness, there will be everything will be perfectly all right. Even the devotees will be perfect. No, there will not be utopia. The devotees may also commit mistakes, but the glory of the devotees is that how they bounce back. That is actually the greatness of this one. That is, we can see how Lord Shiva, in one sense, he became bewildered, but how he bounced back. And we can see in this way, Lord Shiva exhibited so many, served the Supreme Lord in so many different ways. I think I'll stop here. I want to thank you for your patient hearing. Grantharat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai,
His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhu ki jai.